Hi, this is Pastor Mike from the Gospel Church. You're listening to our podcast. It's my hope that as you listen to it, that you'll fall deeply in love with Jesus and that you trust him with every part of your life. Thanks for listening.
With me to Mark chapter 10, we're going to be starting verse 46. And as you're turning there, I just want to give a shout out to our series that we're starting next week. So next week, we're starting a series called Advance, which is a series in which we're going to be focusing on our vision and our culture as a church. We're going to be having sermons every week, but we're going to be focusing them specifically into what God is calling us to be as a people of God and as a church. And so we're going to be highlighting some things that we really want to see God do in our churches over the next couple of years. We're going to be presenting that to you guys. I cannot wait. In fact, I told some of our staffers this morning, we've been gearing up for this all year, and it's finally here, and we're so excited to be able to share this vision with you guys. And so we're excited to see what God's going to do in us, because I believe that God wants to do something really beautiful through this church. And so I'm excited to walk through that with you guys. So starting next week, please be here and be here early. We're going to have a prayer time before the service right here, 15 minutes before the service. So 9:45, there will be childcare, will be open, and we're going to have a time where one of our elders will lead our church through prayer time to prepare our hearts to hear what God has for us as we press into becoming even more what God wants us to be as the gospel church. So I'm really excited about it. Make sure that you're here. If you're new, this is a really good series to kind of get a good idea as to who we are as a church and what we're all about. And so this is a great series. Even if you have somebody that's looking to check out a church and wants to know what this church is about, this next series is going to be really for everybody, both for us who are a part of our church, as well as anybody who wants to find out what a gospel-centered church is going to look like in the city. Now, as we walk through this text today, we're going to see Jesus show us what it looks like to approach God and how the gospel changes everything, how it changes how we approach God, even when we may feel like we can't. And we're going to see that through the story of this man named Bartimaeus. So let's read the text together, okay? It says this in verse 46. It says, they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many warned him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more, have mercy on me, son of David. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man and said to him, have courage, get up. He's calling for you. He threw off his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Then Jesus answered him, what do you want me to do for you? Rabboni, the blind man said, I want to see. Jesus said to him, go, your faith has saved you. And immediately he could see and began to follow Jesus on the road. That's an awesome story, isn't it? It's the story of a man who is blind. He's a beggar. He's by the side of the road. One day he hears that Jesus is coming through. And so he begins to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So people tell him, hey, shut up. Jesus is too busy for you. But he doesn't stop there. He starts continuing to shout out to Jesus. And Jesus stops, asks the man to come to him, and then heals him. And the man begins to follow Jesus. It's a beautiful story of how Jesus treats people and how he loves people. But here's the beautiful part about this. This is a model. It's a template for how we also interact with Jesus. So this story is not just only a story about a man who lived a long time ago who Jesus healed, but it's also a picture. It's included here by Mark as a picture to show us what it looks like to be people who follow Jesus, that the gospel changes how we approach Jesus. And here's the secret that you're going to see about how Bartimaeus approaches Jesus. It's about his courage. It's about courage. So we're going to be talking a lot about how to be a courageous Christian, what the role of courage is. Has to do with the life of a Christian. Even when we may not feel like we have a lot of courage, God is inviting us to pursue him with courage. And so you're going to see this man exhibit courage in three really key ways as a follower of Jesus. And the first is the courage to cry out. So let's look at the text again. Verse 46 says, they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And just kind of place the story, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, not just to go back up there to celebrate a Passover or a feast. Jesus is going there to die. Now, not everybody else knows that. Only really Jesus knows that he's going to go die and then be raised again. Even though he's been telling people, people have been going, no, he can't really mean that. But Jesus knows that he's on his journey to the cross. This is the last trip he's ever going to take before he dies. And as he's going, there's a blind man there. Now, verse 47, it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So do you see that? He cries out. And it takes him a lot of courage to cry out because of who he is. So let's look at Bartimaeus' life. Bartimaeus is a very poor man. He's a beggar, and he's blind. That's mostly what we know about him up to this point. He's poor, he's a beggar, and he's blind. This is not the kind of person that would feel comfortable coming to a person who is as celebrated as Jesus. There's a lot of reasons why Bartimaeus would be afraid and have fear about approaching Jesus. Sometimes we know about Jesus, we go, of course, Jesus would want to talk to this man. In fact, we read the Bible, we see him healing all kinds of people. Now, Bartimaeus doesn't know, though, that he's been healing beggars. He hasn't seen it on Twitter, it's not been on Instagram, right? News travels, but it travels much slowly in this time. But one of the things he does know about Jesus, and we see that here, is that he knows that Jesus is the Messiah. And we know that because of what he calls Jesus. He calls Jesus the Son of David. This is a messianic name. It's a claim that Jesus isn't just a good teacher, but that he is the heir to the throne of David. See, in Jewish culture, they had this belief, it was prophesied that there would be someone that would come that would be the Messiah, and that he would be the heir of David. He'd be a descendant of King David, the same King David that killed Goliath, that David, right? And that there would be a king that would come that was a descendant of that David who would set up a kingdom that would never end. And so they would call this person the Son of David. Now, there's a problem for Bartimaeus with the Son of David title. Because what you're inferring when you call Jesus the Son of David, it means that you're a lot like David. In fact, you're just like him. That's what Jewish people would believe when you call somebody the son of something. You find this kind of like phrase over and over just popping up in the Bible, or someone's called the son of something, which means that you have the same attributes, but not necessarily you're the same like physical son. One of my favorites of the versions of this is actually James and John, two of Jesus' disciples. They're called the sons of thunder, okay? Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that thunder was really their dad, right? That does not mean what that's not what that means. What it means is that they were loud and everybody could hear them coming, right? They're just loud people. You know loud people like that. I'm one of them. Everybody can hear me talking down the hallway, right? So they were loud people, so they called them sons of thunder. Here, Jesus is being called the Son of David, and so what that means is he's just like David. Now, one of the things we know about David is that even though he was a man with many strengths, he was also a man with many flaws. So I want you to bear with me on this because it's important to the story. David's flaws, one of those flaws was that he hated blind people. Just think about that for a minute. You got Bartimaeus by the side of the road calling out to Jesus, saying he's the son of David, knowing that if he's anything like David, he hates people like Bartimaeus. Now, the reason why David hated blind people is because at one point he was trying to conquer Jerusalem, and the people that lived in Jerusalem were mocking David, and they said, David, you're never going to take this city, even though you wanted it to be your capital. And we're just going to show you, we're going to flex on you, show you how strong we really are and how weak you are, that we're going to put blind people and lame people on the city walls, and you're still not going to be able to take it. Like, that's a pretty solid flex, right? And so David's like, okay, not only am I going to go take that city, which he eventually did, but blind people and lame people will never, ever, ever, ever be in my presence. Like, I never want to see another one of those people again, because it reminds me how they shamed me. So now Bartimaeus is like walking in that. He wants Jesus to come and heal him, but he also feels like, man, there's no way that Jesus would want to be around a person like me. And yet, he still has courage to call out. Now, his courage isn't only limited to the fact that there's this fear that he might be rejected by Jesus, but there's also voices telling him to stop. Do you see this here in verse 47? Cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48 says, many warned him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more, have mercy on me, Son of David. There are people actively telling him, be quiet. Jesus doesn't want you. I think a lot of us would at that point just say, you're right, I'm just going to stop. You're right, I've already was feeling insecure because I'm blind, but now for sure I'm going to be quiet because they're warning me that something bad will happen to me if I don't stop. But sometimes you have to refuse to hear the voice of the doubters. You have to doubt the doubters, right? Sometimes you have to say, listen, I know more about Jesus apparently than you do, because what I hear about Jesus is that he cares for people like me. And I'm going to have courage, and I'm going to continue to press forward, not because I'm strong or because I have enough faith, but because I know who I am pursuing, and that is Jesus. And I know his character, and it's enough. And that's what this man does. He continues to cry out all the more. It only eggs him on. He's like, listen, Jesus, have mercy on me, because he knows that this is his chance. And he's not going to have another one. There's a desperation for Jesus. You know, one of the things, and I'm not planning to say this, but one of the things I think is so absolutely terrifying about many of us who claim the name of Jesus in Nashville, Tennessee, and in America, is that we've kind of lost this desperation for Jesus. Like, we've lost this, I want Jesus. I just need him. I desperately need him. No one's going to keep me from him. I'm going to continue to cry out, Jesus, have mercy on me. And I'm not sure if it's because we've been around church a long time, or we've been around Christians a bunch, or we've quickly become bored with this, or we've forgotten from where we've come or what we've done before Jesus saved us. But there is something about Bartimaeus that always captures me, where he just says, have mercy on me. The reality is that none of us ever graduates from this need. None of us ever gets past this urgent need for Jesus. And we're fooling ourselves if we've moved past it. And we have to have courage to go back and remember, I need Jesus to have mercy on me. Now, here's the good news, is that Jesus does answer him. Jesus does stop. And he invites him to come. Look with me in verse 49. It says, Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man and said to him, have courage, get up, he's calling for you. And he threw off his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. So what you see here is you see now the crowd switch. They were first saying, be quiet. Now they're saying, hey, have courage. Jesus is calling for you. Jesus is calling for you. Have courage. Don't be afraid. Now, why would they say to have courage now when he was already having courage then? Right? That's a great question. Why would they say have courage now when he already was exhibiting great courage to Stephen cry out? Well, I believe that he has to have courage to come. When Jesus invites him, there is a step that he has to take to go to Jesus. See, Jesus is inviting all of us to come. Jesus has stopped and has invited all of us, but it takes courage to step out of where we currently are and into the unknown, and then go to Jesus. Because that means that things are going to change. That means we're going to risk. That means that we're going to step into some places that might seem dangerous or scary. And yet Jesus wants us still to step into them, because he's calling us to come and to change and to grow and to grow into our relationship with him. And so this man at this point has to exhibit more courage than he's ever had in his life. And yet he's putting it, again, not in himself, but in Jesus. And do you see what he does? He stands up and he throws off his coat and he goes. Like, there's this image that he just jumps up. throws off his coat, like superhero, and just runs to Jesus. Now, there's one problem. He's blind. Have you ever tried running with your eyes closed? It's not a great idea. Wouldn't recommend it for anybody, right? And there's something incredibly reckless about the way that this man approaches Jesus. He's like, I can't see, but I know he's that way, and I'm just going to go. And I don't care what happens, but just let me get to him. There's something powerful about that. Last month, my wife and I, actually, it's almost, summer's been flying by. It's almost 2 months ago. My wife and I, I did a wedding in Atlanta, and we were down there, and we decided to go drive around. We went to this cool place of Atlanta called, I can't even remember the name of it, but it was cool. And we were driving through. It was so cool. I cannot remember the name. But we were in Atlanta, and we were driving down through this historical district. And as we were driving, there was a sign that we saw that said, "Caution, blind person." And we were like, that's the most incredible sign we've ever seen. Because it's obviously necessary, but what does that even mean? Well, a couple seconds later, we actually saw what it meant, because the blind person that they were referring to on the big yellow sign was actually trying to cross the street. And friends, it was like one of the most terrifying things we'd ever seen. Because there's this lady who is dressed for work. She's wearing a Kroger uniform, and there's a Kroger across the street, and she's trying to go to work. And we saw her as we're stopped at the stoplight, a couple rows back, a couple cars back. She's pushing the button for the walk sign to happen. And finally, she just gets frustrated, and she just crosses the street in traffic. And the scariest part was she didn't even go in the right direction. She started going catty-corner, the wrong way, and everybody just screeched to a stop. Finally, somebody jumped out of the car and helped her to safety. That's the kind of danger this man was walking in, right? That's the image. He's just like, I want to go that way, and I'm going, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just going to go pursue the voice of Jesus. It takes great courage to do that. But his courage was fueled by his need. He knew that Jesus had the cure, and he knew that Jesus was the one who could change him and give him an opportunity to see. And so he comes to Jesus. Now, what you see next in verse 51 is how Jesus relates to him. So it says this, in 51. It says, "Then Jesus answered him, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" There's something really incredible about what Jesus does in his approach to this man. You see, Jesus has a lot going on. There are thousands of people around him. He's on his way to the cross to go lay his life down for all mankind. That means you and I and every other person that is, and everyone who's ever existed. It's kind of a big deal. Jesus is busy. And yet he does not see this person, this man, Bartimaeus, as a thing to take care of or a task to do. He doesn't see him as an object in his way. He sees him as a person to be loved, and he interacts with him like that. He says, "What do you want me to do?" Which at that point, like if I was Bartimaeus, I'd be like, is it not obvious, right? But you find Bartimaeus just saying clearly and simply, "I want to see." And then when he says that, he states his need clearly. He just says, "I want to see." He doesn't try to like make it any more spiritual than what it is. He just says, "This is my need. I want to see." But there's something really important that he does when he tells Jesus his need. He calls him Rabboni. Now, when I read this the first time, I just thought, okay, he's just calling him Rabbi, like many others did. In fact, many people who are not followers of Jesus would call him Rabbi or good teacher. The Pharisees would call him Rabbi sometimes. It's kind of like this title. But Rabboni is something completely different. In fact, it's a different word altogether. Rabboni is a word that you would use to God in prayer. See the difference? It's not like Rabbi, good teacher. He's saying, "God, I want to see." He's making a spectacular claim about who Jesus is. And in this moment, he's coming to Jesus, not just physically, but spiritually. He's coming to him and he's saying, listen, this is what I have, this is who I am, and I'm putting myself at your mercy, and I'm going to make a very courageous claim about who you are. See, not everybody else here believes this about you, but I do. I believe that you're a God, and I believe that you're the only one who can make me see. And here you find him stepping into this third way that he shows courage, which is the courage to follow. So first we find he has courage to cry out. Secondly, he has courage to come. But third, he's got courage to follow, because he becomes a follower of Jesus this day. Not just someone who's healed, but he becomes a follower for the rest of his life. He begins to follow Jesus wherever he goes, because Jesus responds to him, verse 52, he says to him, go, your faith has saved you. And immediately he could see and began to follow Jesus on the road. See that word follow? He begins to follow Jesus. Now, what would you do if you'd been blind your whole life and all of a sudden you could see? I would be like, I want to go see some stuff. Right? I'm going to go see some stuff. I'm going to go see some sunsets. I've heard they're awesome. I'm going to go see my family. I haven't seen them ever. I want to see what they look like. I'm going to go see the food I've been eating. I'm just going to see things. I'm just going to just take it in. What does this man do? What does Bartimaeus do? He follows. He begins to follow Jesus on the road. And the language here is that he continuously follows Jesus. He becomes a follower of Jesus. That becomes like the statement of his life. And we know that this seems to be the reality of his life, in that we actually know his name. That's one of the things I think is so incredible about Bartimaeus, is that we don't know everybody who's healed's name. We don't know everybody who Jesus interacted and their name. But those that we do, it seems that the reason we do is because they are a part of the early church. Because Mark goes back and goes, hey, who's that guy who was healed? They're like, oh yeah, Bartimaeus. Not only Bartimaeus, this, just like any Bartimaeus, the blind Bartimaeus, but Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He knows who his dad is too. Because he's been following Jesus. This isn't just a story about healing. It's a story about becoming a disciple. And so as we look at the story, we find this man changing the trajectory of his life from being someone who's known as a poor, blind beggar to now becoming a follower of Jesus. Because the gospel changed everything. And as we look at this story and we hear the story of this man, there's something that we need to wrestle with. And I think this is an important one. I think every single one of us has things that we can deeply resonate with Bartimaeus about. There might be something that isn't necessarily true blindness, but something else that we're really saying, God, have mercy on me about this. We pray and ask Jesus to fix it. And we're really frustrated with carrying it, and we're tired of that burden, and we're worn out by it, and we've been crying out, and we've been believing that Jesus can take it away, and that we've been praying and saying, no, I'm going to doubt those voices that tell me that he can't care, and he doesn't know about it, and I'm going to continue to be faithful in it, and yet we may still feel like we're not sure what's going to happen or if we're going to have our prayers answered. We can be like Bartimaeus. I can be like Bartimaeus. There are prayers that I've been praying for 20 years that have not been answered. There are prayers sometimes I'm just like, I don't know if you're going to answer this, God. Where are you in the middle of this? Are you going to be here? Do you see Jesus? Do you hear me, Jesus? Are you too busy, Jesus? Let's be honest, we all have something like that. And we may feel like we're in a time where we're just what St. John of the Cross calls the dark night of the soul. I don't know if you've heard this term, but the dark night of the soul is a time that happens in most Christians' lives where there's just a season where you feel like God is distant, or you've been praying and you've been thinking and you've been wanting and you've been hoping and you've been like pressing in. And you just feel like your prayers aren't going anywhere, and you feel alone, and you feel like you have despair, you have anxiety over it, you may have depression, or maybe those things even fueled this dark night. And you just feel like Where is God in the middle of all this? But let me just tell you this. God is not intimidated by our season of hardship. In fact, Jesus knows what it feels like. He knows what it feels like. In fact, he also went through a dark night of the soul right before the cross, where he's weeping in anguish in the garden, saying, please take this cup from me, Father. There are seasons in our life where we may feel like we are all alone, but I want you to hear that this morning. If you don't hear anything else, is that God uses these hard seasons to grow us more than anything else in the life of a Christian. God uses these difficult seasons for his glory and for our good. Today, I'll just testify. In the hardest seasons of my life, where I felt the most discouraged, God was doing his greatest work in me. And he still is. In the seasons where I'm like, man, I don't know what you're doing, God. In those moments, God is actually growing me into becoming the person that God wants me to be. And obviously, I don't want to go through those. Neither do you. Obviously, most of us would rather have a life where our entire spiritual journey, in fact, our whole life is just always on an upward trajectory, up and to the right, right? It's just like everything's going great. Nothing's going wrong in our life. And yet, over and over again, Jesus shows us that in those hard times is where we actually get to experience God and actually know him. See, here's the beauty, is that it all rests on Jesus and who he really is. But what the Bible tells us about Jesus is he's the kind of person that we can really trust. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says this, says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who's Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What the scriptures are saying is that Jesus knows how hard life really can be and what it feels like to be alone and what it feels like to be miserable and what it feels like to have anxiety and depression and what it feels like to be someone who doesn't know if God's going to answer your prayers. He knows what it's like. And yet, he overcame. And he is worthy, and he is for us. You have an advocate with God the Father in Jesus that will give you access to God. So the question I've been asking is this. Would we be okay with the reality that God is going to have us go through a season of waiting so that we could eventually see Jesus in it? You see, Bartimaeus spent his life in misery and squalor and poverty and blindness, begging by the side of the road. And I'm sure there were some days he was like, this is not worth it. And I don't know where God is. But the first face that he saw was Jesus. And Jesus was not blind to Bartimaeus. Jesus had seen Bartimaeus every day of his life. And Jesus had an encounter set up with Bartimaeus that would change his life and give God glory and give you hope today. See, we're all like Bartimaeus, but Jesus has made a difference. And here's the beauty, is that we get to be a difference maker to somebody else. You know, I had a conversation with a friend of mine this week, and we went to lunch together, and we spent some time together, and we were talking about things that were really big on our hearts, things we're struggling through. And the beauty of that was that as somebody who is a follower of Jesus, I was able to share the hope that God is going to be there with us and invite him to experience that as a part of our community, because we get to be the church together and walk through the hardest times of each other's lives together as a community and be Christ. So you may ask, like, what does God do to make this possible, to let other people see? Well, he does that through, first through himself, when we come to him, have courage to cry out to him. Secondly, he's given us a church of people to do that with each other, which is why I am so pro-local church, because the local church is the way that God uses people to go make himself known in the world. And so here's my invitation to you today. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what burdens you're carrying. I don't know how tired you feel today. You may be feeling like, man, I am just about to quit. I am tired. My encouragement to you is to be someone who cries out, Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Have the courage to cry out, Jesus, have mercy. Have the courage to also then, when he says, yes, come to me, to run to Jesus, to make a beeline to the cross. And finally, be someone who's willing to follow, whether that means entering into another tough season or not. But to be someone who constantly asks Jesus, where do you want me to go? How do you want me to live my life? What am I supposed to do? That you would step boldly into that because he cares for you and knows you and will never leave you alone. Let's pray. Jesus, as we close out today, my invitation is that you, Jesus, have offered us this incredible relationship with yourself. And it is amazing to know that you care and you love us and you're close to us. And you say that you see us, you see our need. And you have not turned a deaf ear to us. You have not looked away from us. You have run to us. And you have called us your children and called us your own. And you have called us into this wonderful relationship with you. So Jesus, I pray today that everyone who's hearing my voice would have the courage to cry out. Say, Jesus, I need you. Have mercy on me, Jesus. If you feel that today, just cry out, Jesus, have mercy on me. You can do that right in your seat. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, have mercy on me. And as you cry that out, just know that he is calling for you. So he's inviting you to approach him. He'll never turn you away. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter who you know. Doesn't matter your failures, your insecurities, your doubts. Jesus says, come. Come. Just come as you are. Make a beeline to the cross. And finally, he's inviting you to have the courage to follow him. To just say, Jesus, my yes is on the table. I'm going to follow you through this hard season. I'm going to follow you from this day till my last day. I'm just going to follow you. My availability is completely at your feet. I'm just willing to do whatever it is you want me to do. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church Podcast. Before you go, please hit subscribe. And if you want to give to support the mission, please hit the link in the description. We'll see you next week.